all the time. Now we're going to do something special today. We're gonna have a baby dedication. Now, you know what? I've been running back and forth since I've been here, and there's one thing I needed I didn't have. Does somebody have a lighter or a match? I'm going to go ahead and do it now before I get going and go, uh-oh. Can you hand it to me, brother? Okay, now that you've kicked the habit, here we go. I'm just playing with you, man. Just playing. I couldn't resist. It was awesome. God is awesome. All the time. That's right. We're getting ready to do something I love to do. It's my favorite parts of the ministry is, now where did my pointer go? I love it when that pointer doesn't show up. Okay. All right. We're going to do a baby dedication. God's awesome. Yes. I need a little baby up here. Not only do I need a little baby up here, I need her mama and her daddy and her grandmama. His grandmama and granddaddy and all the grandparents. I want you all up here. Isn't God good? I'm loving all this. This is awesome. Yeah. He is a big fella, isn't he? Let me get this out of the way here. Let me set it right there. Out of the way. Okay, y'all bring, look, I'll say little Richard. I have a feeling you're going to play the piano one day, buddy. Well, look at that grip. Oh, man, that's awesome. You are the man. Okay, here we go. Now, I'm going to read some stuff. And did y'all know that y'all are having a part in this too? Everybody's got a part in this. This is really good. Now, if the parents will stand right here, the grandparents and all the other parents stand right there, get together, and y'all are going to, there you go. Here we go. We're going to have a good time today. Really? Okay, some of y'all get on this side. That's good. Get right here. Some of the grandparents get on this side. Okay, now y'all got it now. Is that good? Can everybody see now? All right. Awesome little fella. So pretty. Yes. He's got an awesome family too. The family is a divine institution ordained and honored of God since the beginning of time. Children are a heritage of the Lord. They're committed by Him to their parents for care, for protection, and for training for His glory. This is a happy occasion that brings us together. And as you realize from God's word that you are responsible to train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. It is fitting that you should, I'm going to do it like this. Y'all go ahead. I'm going to look at y'all. Y'all look at my best side. It is fitting that you should bring your child and present him to God at this tender age, knowing that you must start now in training Richard in the truth. And this goes for every last one of you. May this serve to remind you of your obligation, help you to appreciate your responsibility to lead them in the right direction. I want to play a little video. I'll stay right there. My video helper. Can y'all turn that up? Y'all look right there. Wasn't that precious? There's the most precious one I've seen all morning. Isn't that awesome? Y'all ready? Y'all can turn back around this way. In the sight of God, and in the presence of these witnesses, do you solemnly undertake to bring up this child in the fear and admonition of the Lord? I do. Do you promise to lead them early to accept Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord? There you go. Do you promise to be the best, to the best of your ability, and the help of God, to set before him a godly example of a consistent life? To each of the families present, will you have a part in setting examples before Richard? Okay. May you teach him right from wrong and help him to help to win him to Jesus early in his life. Amen. Let me see right here. To Richard, I give this white flower. That's right. He's going to taste it and see if it's good for the rest of us. All right. I give this white flower as a token of your innocence and purity of soul in the sight of God. My prayer is that when you lose your innocence and your eyes of understanding are open, you will see Jesus, whom to see is life eternal. To you, Dominique. the man. To you, the father, Dominic, I give you this red flower as a symbol of your responsibility as the man of the house, that you let nothing enter your home that will destroy the faith, confidence, and mutual love without which no home can very long endure. Sarah, I give you a white flower as a symbol of your purity of heart and a purpose for which you should exemplify as your child grows to know God in a personal experience. Your example will have a great deal to do with the awakening of Richard in his consciousness of God. Grandparents. Okay. To the grandparents, there you go. I had some more, but it must have fell under the pew. We'll get more. To the grandparents, I give red flowers as a symbol of your influence to this child, to Richard. Teach him by influence and example, right from wrong. Your role will be important and everlasting. Charles, I do need to camp. Get to the end of camp. Now we come to the unity candle. Life is full of symbolic actions that speak to us on a deeper level that we cannot always put into words. But such things you act instead of speak in regard to your promises. At the beginning of this marriage, two became one flesh in the eyes of God. They stand before us today with the fruit of their relationship. Each of you take this candle. Together you will light the larger candle and then replace your lit candles in their individual holders. This is a vivid reminder that now your lives are merged, and Richard is the proof of it. This is a symbolic that God, who has placed responsibility upon each of you individually, will also make of your hands one hand, and of your heart one heart, and of your lives one life, unified in God to raise Richard in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Congregation, you please stand. As a symbol of our united commitment to this family, please respond to this important question. Do you commit yourselves to do everything you can in the formal roles of service and in the informal interactions with Richard and his family to assist his parents in the fulfillment of the vows of dedication that they just made? Amen. Let us pray. Lord, the baby's weight is light, but the responsibility is heavy. This responsibility to raise this child in the fear of you, Lord, we don't take lightly at all. We dedicate this child now. Let me have you. We dedicate Richard in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for what you're going to do in his life. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, everybody. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Y'all can consider. Unless y'all take them. You take your pictures, yeah. Go ahead and give the Lord another hand clap of praise. God is awesome. All the time, God is awesome. Today is a very special day. That is so awesome. No, sir, you still got some more. There you go, Rich. I mean, Dominique. I said Richard so much I was calling Dominique Richard. Oop, let me get this. since we're doing a baby dedication today, I thought it would be awesome. I was been praying about it and asking God when to pull the trigger on this one. Now I've lost my remote again. If I was going to play on Back to the Future, I'd be the absent-minded professor. Amen. God is so good. All the time. Amen. So right now, we're getting ready to talk about marriage. How many here has ever had the perfect, absolute, awesome marriage, and you'd like to tell the whole world about it? Every man, you better raise your hand. Because I'm just going to sit down and talk to y'all today. Matter of fact, I'm going to hide behind this. Okay. I know you fellas are going to say, I thought you loved me. Actually, when DC built this thing, he built it with me standing, and it can't be adjusted. So DC said, Dad, we got to get you a higher stool. And I said, well, I actually feel safe behind it. Amen. You know, how many's heard that love is a dream and marriage is the alarm clock? Yeah. Also, I heard that marriage is made in heaven, but so is thunder and lightning. Yeah. Amen. Yes. My wife was supposed to be here this morning, and Bethany was supposed to be here, and Bethany didn't show up, and now my wife's with Bethany, so please pray for both of them, amen, that Linda has the right words and that Bethany has the right ears. Amen. She is doing better, I have to say that. Now let's see if I can get this thing going here. Let's see. There you go. 7 words for relationship. You see that man and wife there? They're looking so lovey and dovey. The only problem is what they got over their head. When there's an umbrella, usually what's happening? It's raining, it's storming, or the heat is on. Have you ever been married and had the heat on? And I'm not talking about the heater that we're paying for next week. Amen. You also heard it said that the best way ever, men, the best way to end an argument is just to say, yes, dear. Anything you say, yeah, yes, ma'am. And anything you say after that is the start of another argument. Okay. So here we go. 7 words for relationships. But it's not just for your marriage. This actually also works for your brothers and your sisters, family relationships. Of course, you have to amend some of this stuff because it's not all the same thing. I mean, there's certain things that it relates to marriage that may not relate to everything else. And there's one thing I did forget. I had it right down here. Because I was so busy looking for my remote. Little Richard, you can turn your Bible and watch us today. You can read your Bible while we're doing that. There's his first Bible. There you go. I looked down and saw that. I said, that's not my remote. No, that's the Bible that I was supposed to give Richard. Amen. So now, marriage is an important foundation in our life. Matter of fact, relationships are an important foundation in our life. Do you know that God, none of these say it's not good for man to be alone? You know why God created man? Because he didn't want to be alone. Wow. He had all those angels, he had all that going on, but you know what? He needed somebody that the angels are forced. The angels have no choice. And when they revolted against God, where did they wind up? Cast down, and they became the devil's demons. So God needed a relationship, so he created man, somebody that through free will would choose to love him and choose to have a relationship with him. Then he looked down and said, it's not good for man to be alone. And so, and because of that, he made woman. Okay, so you got to remember, this is an awesome thing. You know, just so awesome what God does for us. So now, let me ask you a question. I want to get serious for a moment. Believe me, it's hard sometimes, but I can get serious. Amen. If you don't think I can get serious, ask my kids. Amen. They can tell you how serious I can get. Let me ask you a question. What does our marriages look like? Not only our marriages, what do our families look like? What's our relationship between our parents and our kids and between the siblings and work people, your co-workers. Well, what does life look like for you? Well, what do you see? And especially, we're talking about marriage, but remember, you can interject if you're not married here today. Matter of fact, I've heard people say, if I could only get married, I'd be happy. Then 6 months later, I'd hear them say, if I hadn't have got married, I'd be happy. Amen. So after the strain of children, I mean, you're trying to have a good night with your wife or your husband. You're trying to sit back and watch television, and then you're having to go take care of kids, and then you got a kid that's sick, or you got homework that's got to be done, or something, or the kids are fighting. All of a sudden, that nice, quiet, relaxed night has become. Matter of fact, I got a song I like to play. I used to like to play when my youngins were coming up. It was by, who was that group called? I can't think of the name of the group, but they had a song called Welcome to the Jungle. Guns N' Roses. I would be looking around the house and all of a sudden we go, Welcome to the Jungle. Out here on Possum Track. I'm about to go crazy if God didn't have my back. Jungle, welcome to the jungle. I'm going to choke them all. So after the strain of children, work, how many's ever had a stressful day at work? Okay, then you got your in-laws and your outlaws. Sometimes they're the same thing. I can say that. Don't laugh if your in-laws or outlaws are here. Don't laugh, just inside go, that's cute. And then just life by itself. And I'm only going to give you a few words today, but there's seven words. But see, when all this is going on, listen, children, work, your family, whether it be your born into family or your in-laws, all this is going on. Always somebody's got a need or needs you to pray for them or help them or do something, rebuild something, build something. There's always something going on. Somebody's car tears up. You know, there's always something. Y'all remember Roseanne, Rosanna Dana? How many remember Roseanne, Rosanna Dana? That's the intelligent ones in here. Look. On Saturday Night Live, Glenda Radner, she used to do, hey, I'm Roseanne, Rosanna Dana. And she'd tell the news. And at the end of it, she'd go, it just goes to show you that there's always something. As long as you're alive, there's always something. But when all this is going on, it's easy to lose focus of each other. It's easy to lose sight of each other, and it's easy to attack each other. You might not even be mad with your spouse, but that is the easiest one, the closest one, and the one that is involved in the same stuff you're involved in. Even subconsciously, you're thinking to yourself, well, if I hadn't married them, I wouldn't be having this problem right now. I know some of y'all are going, uh-huh. Some of y'all are doing this. There's seven words, and I'm only going to give you three today. There's seven words because it's getting close to 12. Matter of fact, by the time we get through three of them, you'll say, thank God. There's seven words. If you apply them to your marriage and your relationships, has the power to make this year the best year you've ever experienced as a couple, as a co-worker, as a child, as a parent. It's going to be awesome. So here it is. Remember, our focus today is marriage, but it's all relationship. A priest asked a little boy one time if he knew what matrimony meant. The little boy replied, sure, that's a place where people, between heaven and hell, where people pay for their sins. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we're going to talk about matrimony, not purgatory, matrimony. You know, there's a story told of a little boy sitting on the front steps with his face cradled in his hands, and he was looking so forlorn, and so his dad came home and asked him, what's wrong? And the little boy looked up and said, well, just between us, Dad, I'm having trouble getting along with your wife, too. So, have you ever had a problem getting along? Can't get, y'all remember Yosemite Sam? I can't get along, little doggy. I can't even get one that's short. I can't get along, little doggy. Okay. I stretched it with Hosanna, Hosanna, Dana. Now I've already gone into Yosemite Sam. All right. You see my intellectual level. My idea of intellectual stimulation is counting to 10 with Big Bird. Okay? Get ready. All right. The very first word. Oh, here it goes. There's your seven. I'm running this thing too. I'm telling you, today has not been my best day to multitask. All right. The very first word is initiate. Initiate. It's so easy for us to get upset with each other and go, and I go, why don't you go apologize? I ain't apologizing. I didn't do anything wrong. Why don't you just go and say, can we make up? What for? I told a guy one day, I said, the Bible says you are to love your wife as Christ loved the church. He said, what? Love my wife? I said, well then, love her as your neighbor. He said, what? He said, I don't even want to be around her. I said, well, there's another one then. The Bible says, love your enemies. Remember? Listen, how many remember the courtship? Wasn't it so cool when you finally saw that girl or that guy that you thought was just awesome? He's so awesome, I can't live without him. I've been married 6 months, and I wish I didn't have him here. I don't want him here. I wish you would get rid of him. Is there a warranty on this thing? Is there a lemon law? No. Remember the courtship. You couldn't wait. You did everything you could to woo that woman. You did everything you could to woo that man. Think about it. All that stuff. And then all of a sudden it grows cold. You know, I think like the six stages of a married cold. All right, get ready. A married cold. First year. Sugar dumpling, I'm really worried about my baby girl. You got a bad sniffling. There's no telling about these things with all this stuff that's going around. I'm putting you in the hospital this afternoon for a general checkup and a good rest. I know the food's lousy, but I'll bring your meals in. That's the first year of marriage with the cold. Second year. Listen, darling, it don't sound like, I don't like the sound of that coughing. I've called the Doc Miller to come over, to rush over here. Now you get to bed like a good girl and just for me. The third year. Maybe you better lie down, honey. Nothing like a little rest when you're feeling lousy. I'll bring you something. Do you like canned soup? The fourth year. Now look, dear, be sensible. After you fed the kids and got the dishes done in the floor wax, why don't you go lie down? The fifth year. Not feeling good? Take a couple of aspirin. The sixth year. I wish you'd just gargle or something instead of sitting around barking like a seal. Some of y'all might have said this or something. What are y'all looking? Of course, then the next one, the seventh year, or the sixth stage. For Pete's sake, stop sneezing. Are you trying to give me pneumonia? You see, we grow accustomed to each other, and then we find ourselves growing cold to each other. Then we find ourselves growing apart. The same thing with God. We become accustomed with God. We become accustomed with the things of God. We become accustomed with God moving in our life to the point where we just kind of take Him for granted like we do each other, and our relationship grows cold, and then it grows apart. That's what happens in life. That's what happens in our marriage. It happens in friendship too. So you need to make every possible effort to woo your spouse over again. Try it. A man was trying to take this advice, and he had taken his wife for granted for so many years, and he began to think about it, and so he decides that he's going to stop by the florist and get some flowers, and he's going to stop by the candy shop and get a great big thing of candy. And so he's coming home. Doesn't know what's been going on at the house. The washing machine broke down. The wife's trying to wash the clothes in the sink. The kids are fighting each other. One of the kids are sick. And so she's running around like a cat got its tail cut off, running around trying to find it. And so he loses his keys to get in the house. So he rings on the doorbell. And when he rings on the doorbell, He's standing there with the candy and the flowers and a great big smile. And she just breaks down crying uncontrollably. He says, did you like that? She said, no. She said, the washing machine broke. I'm having to wash the clothes in the sink. The kids are fighting. One kid is sick and you come home drunk. He weren't drinking. She just weren't used to that. Your wife should know what it's like to be wooed all the time. Husbands, woo your wives. Wives, woo your husbands. Amen. Amen. And now if y'all are cows and bulls, then moo your husband. All right. So make every effort to woo your spouse all over again. And see, so many people, so many marriages fall apart. Here it is. People just stop trying. They stop trying, the relationship grows cold, they split up. And then they wind up finding somebody else, wooing them. And you know, usually, this is a statistical, psychological truth, usually within the second year of a second relationship, the stuff that broke up the first relationship starts happening in the second relationship. The first marriage has a 50-50 chance according to statistics. The second marriage has a 25% chance, according to statistics. And the third marriage can go like 10%. So it's important. Don't keep doing the same thing. Einstein said insanity is keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. Woo your spouse. Let them know they're important to you. Do not withhold good from those who is due when it's in your power to do good. Now, let me get going here. I told you I'm not going to do a whole bunch today. Matter of fact, I'm two more. Number two, prioritize. Let me ask you a question. What's your top priority? I hear people praying and they say, well, we got to put God, and then we got to put the church, and then we got to put the kids, and then somewhere down there the marriage. And you know, the basis of a strong marriage of a strong church is strong marriage. And you know, the basis of a good relationship in a strong family is a strong marriage. It's the number one priority. So here's how it works. God first, always. God first, then your mate, marriage, then your kids, and then church. If you do that, nobody will go lacking. Everything will fall into place. So you've got to make sure you prioritize. There was this preacher having this seminar about marriage, and on Sunday morning he was finished up a series of sermons on marriage, and at the end of the service he was giving out small wooden crosses to each married couple, and he said, place this cross in the room in which you fight the most, and you'll be reminded of God's commands, and you won't argue as much. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. One woman came up after the service and said, I need more crosses. One room ain't enough. We all get every room. Matter of fact, give me five. Amen. I'm not talking about a high five either. So again, tell me where you devote the majority of your time and energy. Is it checking? You know, this day and time is checking. A lot of people, you're talking to people and all of a sudden they're checking their phone. My sons do this when they go out to eat. I try not to make sure that I eat when I see them doing this. Because my phone rings all the time, and I try not to answer, but sometimes it's very important. I need to answer it if I'm with somebody else, like in a counseling session or something. But they put the phones in the middle of the table, and as the phones start ringing, whoever picks up the phone first takes the bill for everybody. That's a quiet evening. Amen. So your phone rings. Oh, there you go. They're going to give him the check. No. Okay. So now, what's important to your phone? Updating your Facebook status? You'd be sitting there talking with somebody, and all of a sudden while they're talking to you, they're going, And I go, what are you doing? I'm updating my status on Facebook, telling how good a time I'm having talking with you today. Oh, okay. You heard every word I said, didn't you? I think it was, who was it? It was one of the presidents. I'm trying to think of the president now. It might have been FDR. Everybody always wanted to quote everything you said. They were always trying to listen to him, and he was having this big old luncheon at the White House, and the people were coming by, the reporters and diplomats, and they were all coming through and saying, "Good morning, sir. Glad to be here. Good morning, sir. Glad to be here." And he said, "This is getting aggravating. They're all just using generic words." So then he said, "I'm gonna fix this." The next man walked up was a prime minister from some other country. He walks up and he says, and when he looks up at the president said, "I killed my wife this morning." And the diplomat said, "I'm sure she deserved it, sir." Do nothing. I done popped that button. There it is. I done popped that button. There you go. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. That's all relationships, but especially your spouse. Now I got one more, and then we're gonna stop for today, and I'll do the other four next week. But I want you to pay close attention to this, and we're gonna be out of here by 12 o'clock-ish. Do you notice out of those seven words, timely is not up there? All right. The next word, communicate. Communicate. You know, in a successful marriage, you have to fight the urge not to talk. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to aggravate some people, but that's okay. I've been known to aggravate people before. All right. Sometimes they tell me that pastoring, the Greek word for pastoring is pester. I've been told you've been pestering all day. I thought I was pastoring. No, you've been pestering. The average man speaks about 23,000 to 30,000 words a day, tops. Man communicates by actions. A woman is very, very verbal, and she doesn't speak 23 to 30,000 words a day. She speaks 30 to 60,000. An hour. He just had, everybody pray for him. Stop right now, Lord. Lord, he's not going to make it out the door. So at least, if you'll just lay down right there, Steve, we can have a service for you right there. Okay. So a woman speaks 60,000, a man speaks 30,000 words a day, except for over there. We're not going to say how many. Well, I got a feeling that he's not going to be, it's kind of hard to say a whole lot of words with a swollen lip, brother. He was saying, "Well, for the noon dad, I wouldn't have done it. I thought she'd take that joke." The average woman speaks 60,000 words a day, and the average man speaks 30,000. So by the time we get home, we've already spoke our 30,000, so all we can do is go, "Huh? What you want for supper?" "Oh, no." "Can I get you anything?" "The remote." "What you going to do?" "Huh? Have a good day?" "Yeah." "You got plans for tonight?" "Huh?" And he just goes. I've gone to some people, my kids and my dad, and they're doing that, and I've walked around and pulled it away, and they're still going. All right. So by the time the man gets home, he's already spoke his, and the woman's only halfway through. So you got 30,000 to go, and the man got nothing. And here's the biggest misnomer. And well, matter of fact, let me just tell you something here. When he says and she says, okay? When she says it's your decision, she really means the correct decision should be obvious by now. When she says, do what you want, she really means, and you'll pay for this later. When she says, I'll be ready in a minute, she means kick off your shoes and find a good game on television. When she says you have to learn to communicate, she means really you need to learn how to just agree with me. I know I'm talking big because my wife ain't sitting there. Right, yeah. This is being recorded. Yeah, she watched it last week. By the time I got home, by the time Eddie put it on, he was watching it, yeah. When you say, what's wrong, honey? And she says, nothing. She really means everything. That's when a woman talks. I'm going to tell you about when a man talks now. When he says, I'm hungry, it means, I'm hungry. When he says, I'm sleepy, it means, I'm sleepy. When she says, what are you thinking? And he says, nothing. Honestly, it's nothing. Women's brains are going constantly. And the guy comes in, he says, I done racked my $30,000 a day. Boo, I'm just going in vegetate mode. When a man looks at his wife and says, what's wrong? He means, I don't see why you're making such a big deal about this. All right, I said it for you guys, okay? Y'all can say thank you later. Okay, I just want y'all to notice I've helped Joe out just a little bit. And when you're shopping, if he says, I like that one better, it means, can you just pick one, please? I got other places I can be right now. I can be down there getting a milkshake. I can be over at Hardee's getting a hamburger. I can be at home doing this. Okay. So now, instead of allowing things to fester, and we do that so good, instead of allowing things to fester, try talking about it. And here's the problem. When it comes there's something called, for marriage counseling, it's called emotion-based therapy. I'm not kidding. It's called emotion-based therapy. I've been studying it now for a long time. I'm in the second stage, and still the emotions, it's just an amazing thing the way my emotions are. If you're doing emotion-based therapy, what you try to do is you try to get people to talk about how they're feeling, not what they know. Well, I know she loves me. Well, I know he loves me. I know. I don't want to hear what you know. I want to know what you're feeling. Well, I know he loves me, but I really don't feel like he's loving me now. Well, I know she says she's never going to leave me, but I feel like she's got that, let's leave here. Look, I read a story where the guy told his wife, said, I'm going to make you, they were laying in bed one night, and he said, honey, he was thinking about something he could do to make her feel better about the situation, so he said, honey, I'm going to make you the happiest woman in the world. She turned over and said, yeah, and I'm sure going to miss you. Keep the lines of communication open and tell them how. Listen, it's okay, fellas. I know we don't deal with feelings. We say we're not a feeling person kind of guy. We don't have feelings. I guarantee you, fella, if you come up here and put that finger up here and give me a hammer and I hit it as hard as I can hit it, you'll show me some feelings. You will show me some emotion. Matter of fact, they'll think you got the Holy Ghost. All right. So watch this. Start telling each other how you feel, not what you know. You can start by saying, I know this. I know, or honey, is something wrong? How can you tell? Well, dear, can we talk? So then, I know what I know in my head, but I'm feeling this. And if you start telling each other how you feel, things will get better. All right? Watch this now. Here's what I want you to do. Speak redemptive words. You know, Winston Churchill was at a party one night, and one of the ladies in the cabinet came up, and she looked at him, and she was so mad at him. They never got along, ever. And she said, "Sir, I perceive that you are drunk." And he said, "Well, ma'am, I perceive you are ugly." He said, "In the morning, I will be sober." True story. And so she said, "If you were my husband, I'd put poison in that drink." And he said, "Ma'am, if you were my wife, I would drink it." Speak redemptive words. One of the first things we want to do is we want to beat up on our spouse without even thinking about it. Or beat up on each other. You know, "Well, I just leave." Leave that out of the conversation. "Well, then if you keep talking like this, there's no way we're going to be able to get together. Let's just go ahead and break up now." That's not redemptive words. Redemptive words are words that are always in the healing mode, going toward bettering the relationship. "Honey, I know you're hurting, and honey, I know I have hurt you. But if you'll give me a chance to show you what I was trying to do, or let's talk this thing out, you'll see that I really didn't mean to hurt you, and I'm so sorry, and I'll do anything I can to make it better." Or you know, let's go out for a ride or for a walk, or let's go to eat somewhere instead of going, "Well, leave then." I remember when I first got married, way on back in the day when I was in my early 20s. And I remember there'd be times she'd go, "I'll just pack my rags and I'll leave." And I'll say, "I'll pack them for you. You want me to take you to the airport?" And the Lord started convicting me when I got saved and said, "Stop that. Stop it." And Lynn and I, and of course, me and DC and Daniel's mom got over that, but Linda, in our contract, not only a written contract, a verbal, emotional contract, we started saying, these words are not acceptable in our conversation. They will never be used. And if one of us starts to use it, point at him and say, "That's not a usable word." And it's amazing how that helps. So here you go. Say something that's going to help. From a wise mind comes careful and persuasive speech. Now, I'm going to stop at communicate. I do want to say this, and then I'm going to call you up here to pray. And this really goes for next week, but I thought it might do good for this one. 3 weeks after her wedding day, Joanna called her minister in hysterics. She was crying. She said, "Pastor, John and I had our first fight together. It was awful. What am I going to do?" The pastor, leaning back in his chair and shaking his head, said, "Calm down, Joanna. This isn't nearly as bad as you think. Every marriage has to have its first fight. It's natural." She said, I know. She said impatiently, "But what am I going to do with the body?" Listen carefully. They asked Billy Graham. Did he ever think about divorce? And Billy Graham said, "No, but I thought about murder 2 or 3 times. BJ, can you come play something for me, please? Where's Sister Brenda? Sister Brenda, that's right. Come, Sister Brenda. Come here and play something. Come here and play something. I'm sorry, it was Sister Brenda's Sunday. I told you, I can't even find my remote. I'm surprised I'm in the right church. I mean, I had a guy try to come here to visit us one day, and instead of coming here, he went across the street right out there because he thought we were on 33. He went in and said, "Where's Pastor David?" He says, "Matter of fact, where's the congregation?" He called me up and said, "I didn't know you pastored a black congregation." I said, "I don't. That's the wrong church." Listen. God wants us to be special for one another. God wants us to do something very dynamic, and that's work on our relationships in a different way. If the way you're working on your relationship doesn't work, try these words. There's seven of them. I gave you three today, and one of them is initiate. Initiate. Somebody's going to have to take the bull by the horns. If you're both sitting there with your back toward each other, it's going to stay festering and festering and festering. Somebody's got to initiate. Even if it means swallowing your pride, even if it means whatever, you need to initiate. Somebody needs to initiate. Number two, prioritize your mate in your marriage. Prioritize it. Make it a priority. And number three, communicate. You got to talk. If you don't talk, somebody's going to walk. You hear me? If you don't talk, somebody's going to walk. I want everybody to stand. Every head bowed. First, I want to ask, if there's somebody here today that doesn't know Jesus as your personal Savior, today's your day. It's an awesome day. An awesome, awesome day. God has something special for you, and that's salvation. Today is the day of salvation. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. God, the very first relationship is you and God. If you want your marriage to get better, any relationship to get better, the first thing you need is to be together with God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to know Him, while nobody else is looking around, would you raise that hand and say, "Pray for me, Pastor. I don't know Him, and I need to." Bless them, Lord. Next, you may be here and you had served Him strong at one time, but the marriage got bad, relationships got bad, things turned sour, and you find yourself getting cold, not only with your relationships, but cold with God. And you want that relationship back again with God the way you used to have it. You want it to be strong. If I'm talking to you today, you want to strengthen your relationship with God. Again, I'm not going to embarrass you, but you just raise that hand and say, "I need my relationship strengthened with God. Pray for me. Pray for me." Hands are going up. Pray for me. Maybe you're here and you don't have to raise your hands for this, but you got a relationship that you need God to work in. What I would like to see happen is, whether it's bad or whether it's all good, whether it's bumpy roads, smooth roads, I can tell you in every marriage, there's not all smooth roads and there's not all bumpy roads. It's a combo. You need God with you because He's the shock absorber when you hit those bumps. I would like every couple, when I call them up here to come pray, I like every couple to hold each other's hand. And I want you to come up here and let us pray and bless your marriage. So right now, if you raise your hand for anything, whether it's for salvation, whether it's for rededication, or you just want God to bless your marriage, I want every married couple especially, but everybody come up, but every married couple come up, hold your hands together, and let me sit here and anoint you through the power of God, and let Him touch your marriage. Everybody that will. Every marriage. It's an awesome thing, an awesome responsibility. An awesome responsibility. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, bless this marriage in a very powerful way, Lord. Bless it, Lord. And we thank You for it right now in the name of Jesus. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You've got our best interest in Your heart, Lord. ask you right now, Father, to touch, Lord, and anoint in a very powerful way, Lord. Ask you, God, to minister, God, in the way that only you can, Lord. Ask you, God, to help us keep the communication lines open. Ask you, God, to help our marriages be stronger than ever. And Lord, we know, God, that you are more than able to handle this, Lord. God, everything we say and do, we want it, Lord, to please you and to honor you. Bless this precious couple in a very powerful way. Use them, Lord, in very dynamic ways, Lord. Father, in very dynamic ways, Lord, I thank you, God. And I thank you, Lord, for giving the desires of their heart, Lord. I thank you, God, for working, Lord, in their midst, Lord. I thank you for these wonderful babies, Lord. I ask you to touch right now, Lord. Minister mightily in the name of Jesus. 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 God, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. You're awesome. You're awesome. Lord, in the name of Jesus, you're awesome. We thank you for all that you do for us, Lord, for all that you say to us, Lord. God, in the name of Jesus, touch and anoint. Touch and anoint. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch and anoint, Father. And we'll thank you for all that you're doing for us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. God, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want you right now, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look your spouse. I want husbands, look at your spouse. Husbands, look at your spouse. Husbands, look at your spouse. I want you to tell them this. Listen, this is important. This is so important. I give you permission to be you. Wow. I give you permission to be you. Now, wives, look at your husband. Wives, look at your husband and say, tighten up. No, no. Wives, look at your husband and say, I give you permission to be you. Amen. Amen. Right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, you're an awesome God. And I thank you for this precious couple. Bless them tremendously. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God's awesome. Now, I know y'all can't wait to come back next week to hear the other four words. You can say, he preached for 30 minutes on three words. Uh-huh. Isn't that cool? Yeah, 33. All right, everybody stand. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We had a baby dedication today. God's awesome. All the time. Amen, amen, amen. Remember now, husbands and wives, listen to me. Starting today, initiate. Don't initiate the fight, initiate the makeup. Okay? When I said initiate, somebody said, all right. No, no. Initiate. If you see something's going wrong, you be the first to try to make it better. Okay? Try it. See what it does. It'll change your marriage. Be the first. And it's not always going to be easy. Sometimes it's going to hurt. If you need a third person or a witness, call me. Amen. We can go back there and y'all can talk back there in the privacy of my office, and I'll be the third person to keep y'all from killing. I mean, for y'all can communicate.